Greetings, everybody. This is Michael from Finding Christ in Cinema. Just a quick note on this particular episode. I forgot to record the audio. Yes, things get crazy and hectic in the studio before Brendan and I start the show, and this time I failed to hit record on the Patron St. Philip Honorary Digital Recorder. But fear not! We did record the video via Ustream, and I extracted it, took that audio out in order to create this podcast. But alas, it will not have the high-fidelity sound that you have come to expect from Finding Christ in Cinema. But it's better than no show! So without further delay, we present Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 74, Thor Favorite Movie! On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the Bifrost back to Asgard and look for Christian themes in Thor: The Dark World. What's the only thing that can unify Thor and Loki? What does it take to rid Loki of his prideful heart? All that in Thor in 3, 2, 1! Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 74. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
What was that? A flyby? You're just doing a flyby? Here comes, like, Tinkerbell or something.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
What in the world was that all about? Hey, Brendan, it's episode number 74 of Finding Christ in Cinema. What did we talk about last week? Oh, Kingdom of Heaven!
Oh, that's right.
Yes!
I had a brain fart there.
In fact, we're going to be talking about that again. Just
yes,
not
we
on
are.
This episode.
Yeah, not this episode.
Did you have anything that you needed to redact or amend or add on to anything on the last episode?
Well, not necessarily to the Kingdom of Heaven discussion, but...
Because we nailed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
However, to my review, my quick little blurb review of the Scorch Trials...
Yes.
I said
you
that...
You didn't see the movie.
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
No, not, it's not that...
You forgot you didn't actually see it.
It's not that bad. No, no, no. Okay, so in comparing Scorch Trials to the first Maze Runner film, I said that the first Maze Runner film was a lot cleaner.
Uh-huh.
I went back, and no, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, so I gotta take that statement back.
The first. So you're saying Maze Runner,
the initial film?
The
first Maze Runner, yeah. It actually has a good bit of language in it. Now,
well, especially their made-up Swiss cheese style... What did you call that?
The A effect.
Okay, the A effect. What does A stand for? Something?
Alienation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that is a concept, a tool, a method, a mode
from well, I guess
that we discussed that on our.
It's a storytelling technique.
Okay, there you go.
We'll say that.
For more on that, go back and listen to our episode on Mad Max Fury Road. I said it correctly.
Yeah, you did.
Furiosa. Okay, so you just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify because I went back and kind of reviewed some scenes from the first Maze Runner film.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this isn't.
Which we covered that on Finding Christ in Cinema. We found Christian themes in that film.
So yeah.
If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that as well. And that way, you can, you know, all your friends coming back from the theater, yeah, hey, you know, Scorch Trials, hey, well, come on over, let's watch the Blu-ray of the first film again, and perfect opportunity, huh?
Hey, there you
for
go.
For sharing the gospel.
There you go.
Anything else that you needed to...
No, that's it.
Okay, well, what are we doing this episode?
Oh, we're doing, Michael, we're doing Thor Favorite Movie. Thor Favorite Movie in the entire world.
Thor The Dark World.
Yeah.
Good movie. You ready to go to the... theater?
Oh, I think so.
Come on, here we go.
After all this time, now you come to visit me, brother. Why? To mock.
I need your help. And I wish I could trust you.
If you did, you'd be the fool I always took you for.
Some believe that before the universe, there was nothing. They're wrong. There was darkness, and it has survived.
It's gonna happen.
I gave you my word. I would return for you. We face an enemy known only to a few, known only to one.
You must be truly desperate to come to me for help.
If we do nothing, they will destroy us.
You even think about betraying him?
I'll kill you. That was from New York.
I like her.
Thor, your bravery will not ease your pain. Your family, your world will be extinguished.
We're running out of time.
The very fabric of reality will be torn apart.
Find a way to save us all.
All yours.
Anyone else?
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
But
it was fun.
Oh, now you sound like me at the beginning of the Mad Max episode.
Yeah.
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 You're mocking me. You mocketh.
No, you mocked me on the last
no,
episode.
I did
I haven't
not.
Forgotten that.
Oh,
yes, you did.
I did not.
Yes,
I mocked
you did.
Me through you.
Oh, what's the difference?
Oh, come
that
on.
That doesn't make any
All right,
sense.
Let's get back to this big, gigantic
anyway,
movie
so
here.
So back to Thor favorite movie,
yes,
Michael.
This is, yes, and Thor's too.
No.
Nope. Oh, talk to me, Goose.
Well, you, okay, let's get the positivity in there first.
All right.
So you go ahead.
Oh, okay, we were talking before the microphones were hot. I think of all the Marvel superheroes that have been brought to the big screen, Thor is the most ludicrous in this day and age. And to have attempted it in the first place, way back in what, 2011, to bring him to the big screen took a lot of courage. And I guarantee there were people sitting on the board in there when somebody was pitching it, and they're flipping through a comic book and said, this is the most asinine comic book character that anybody could want to bring to, oh yeah, a little phone ringing over there, could want to bring to the big screen, and here you guys are bringing this to us. And so they did a fantastic job of, again, bringing Thor to life.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's not an instrument. It's no small hurdle to get over. That's, you know, that's what I'm proposing. And this one has such a different tone and tenor to the 2011 Thor film, Thor actual favorite movie.
Yes.
And I think that it is bigger, it's grander, it's more mature, I would say. And for me, it was a great ride. At first, you know, watching it, there is that hurdle to get over. This is a ridiculous character to bring to screen. It just is.
Yeah.
But then once I'm able to be drawn into the story and into the characters, and especially the acting prowess, I got to throw out two shout-outs right off the bat before we go any further.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
And Hank Williams. As
Junior?
As Thor and Loki, respectively.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. What do you think?
I thought it was good. I liked him.
Okay.
Now I'm going to tell you.
Yeah?
I enjoyed, honestly, watching Tom Hiddleston better. More.
He embodies.
Because I think...
He looks like a stinker.
He does.
He just does.
He does, but... His character, I think his character goes through the most transformation in this movie.
Well, I think his character is one of the most complex.
Yeah.
So far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Not just this movie.
Right.
Oh, Michael.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. There will be naysayers out there saying, how cliched, what a cliched bad guy. I don't think so. I think that there's some deeper things going on there. But those two together...
Time out.
Yeah.
Keep that phrase in mind.
Uh-huh.
Deeper things. We'll get back to it. Go ahead.
Deeper things, that phrase?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But those two together... Well, I was watching some of the special features. These guys are friends. I mean, they became friends working together, but they're so comfortable with each other that as another actor in the film, FCC's very own Natalie Portman, says,
hey.
You know, it's like they're brothers and they have their little private club type of a thing. And so they're goofing off. You're seeing them behind the scenes, as many actors are wont to do. But then immediately they're able to just take ownership of their respective characters in a way that is able to, again, get over this crazy hurdle of the absurdity of these characters. Do you want anything that you need to add on to that? As an actor yourself, anything that you'd like to point out, or am I just calling it wrong? Am I wrong?
No, you got it.
Okay.
I'm tracking with you.
Anthony Hopkins. What do you get when you put Anthony Hopkins? It's much like in Ant-Man having Michael Douglas, isn't it? But this is even more to me.
I was going to say, yeah, that's
what do you get when you put Sir Anthony Hopkins in, when you insert him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I keep thinking is gravitas.
Yeah. Although really, I thought that Odin... And well, let's just say the whole family struggle of Odin's family. I thought that had more gravitas in the first film. That's why I like the first film better.
Okay. Well, yeah, because it's building that dynamic, and it's really in that film the dynamic busts wide open, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we're thrust into the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
Right then and there.
Again, that goes back to the deeper things, but keep talking,
okay?
Because we're going to get to this.
Well, I just think that the family dynamic in this film is, it's really come to a head in this film. What I really appreciate is that we get to see more of the character of Frigga.
Yes.
Played so exceptionally.
Yes, by Renee Russo.
Yes. And
is she FCC's own yet?
She is now.
Okay, yes, she is now. Well, actually, she was also in Nightcrawler, which I reviewed back last October.
Yeah, but we haven't done a podcast.
Well, I'm just on the Monday Movie Review.
Okay.
It's there.
But it's not on Patron St. Philip Presents
The List! Which I think, honestly, if and when Philip watches Nightcrawler, he'll want to put
it on
the list.
He'll demand it.
I think so. But so, Philip, there's your challenge.
Renee Russo, I've always been a fan of hers.
Yeah.
There's something about her on-screen presence that is... I don't even know what the word is, but she instills confidence in me as the viewer. Does that make any sense, technically speaking? Actor would instill confidence in the viewer, in that reflects back to the actor. I mean, it's like this loop.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make any sense at all?
Yes, it does.
So what I'm saying is that when I'm watching somebody like Anthony Hopkins or Renee Russo and these characters, again, this is fantasy, this is outlandish, but they instill the confidence in me in order to believe in them, I guess. And that's kind of a fun dynamic because there are some other actors in this film that I don't get that with. And I'm thinking one particular. Tell me, Jamie Alexander as Sif. She's the Lady Asgardian.
Oh, the one who barely got any screen time?
Yeah, and she beats up everybody.
Yeah, the tough broad?
Yes.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it for me.
No.
I mean, something...
I feel like if she had more screen time, she could have.
To be able to develop the character?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's it. We don't know this character,
yeah,
huh?
And that's
too one-dimensional?
Yes, and I was going to say that's one of my beefs with this movie.
It's not one of the deeper things.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
But it seemed like there was no time to grow with the characters in one scene. Everything was just moving too fast. Yeah. It's not that I couldn't... I knew what was going on. It's not that I was lost or anything. It's just that... But well, besides what I'm going to be talking about and what you're going to be talking about, you know, there is that growth that we could track. The rest of the characters, they just seem like they were there for nothing.
I can see what you're saying, but when I'm looking at an actor like Ray Stevenson playing that Volstagg, who I don't know why, but I always liken him to like Gimli or some kind of a dwarf in Middle Earth.
Yeah, I remember watching the first film and thinking, that is not there's Gimli.
But there's something about him as an actor or his character that is, you know, magnetic, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm drawn more into, oh, wow, I think I know this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of think I know him. Okay, what about my doctor, the ninth doctor, the biggest stinker of all doctors, because he won't do anything past his one season as the ninth doctor, but that is Chris Eccleston. He's the dark elf. Malekith. He had a tough job. That was a tough road to hoe because he's a bad guy. Bad guys are often, especially this type of a bad guy, oh, here comes a super powerful being. He comes in. He's able to, you know, he outsmarts everybody. He's stronger than everybody. Everything's going his way all the way up until the very end, right? That's a one-dimensional type of a character. But Chris Eccleston, one of the reasons why he only did one season of Doctor Who was because he doesn't want to be typecast. He doesn't want to be painted into a box. He wants to be an artist. You know, he wants to be an actor. He wants to be able to express deeper things. And so here they get him to take this role, but it was very important to him that he was able to work with the director in order. He says, we can't just have this guy coming on screen and just beating up everybody. And then he goes off screen and, you know, how do we get it to be a little bit deeper than that? And so I don't know what to look for in his portrayal in that character to see if that was accomplished. Do you?
Honestly, I think this is the first time I've seen him in anything.
Well, you're looking at him with fresh eyes. So
I was going to say I can't compare to anything. So,
well, and not even comparing him or his acting ability, but his characterization of this truly one-dimensional bad guy. I mean, he only has one thing on his mind.
Yeah,
and nothing's going to stop him. I'm kind of thinking back to the scene where he's battling Frigga, and Frigga, woo-wee! You don't want to fight her!
Well,
she takes him out.
Yeah.
Takes him out. It took the big monster guy to come in and save him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where to go on that. So
I think it's the writing in this one.
Okay.
There's too much one, like we keep saying, there's too much one dimension.
I don't want to have to agree with you, but I mean, well, they're going in one direction, trying to, you know, to accomplish a goal, but going too fast to get there, right? There wasn't enough time to flesh things out.
I think so, yeah.
And so you're laying it squarely on the writer and the director, because you are not happy that Gilderoy Lockhart did not direct this film.
Now, yes, that is one thing. I could just sense the difference in the directorial style, and I just really miss Kenneth Branagh.
Do you have any fantasies about what this film would have been like if Gilderoy Lockhart was behind the camera?
It would have been good.
Well, and there's your one-dimensional answer.
There you go.
Well, there's a one-dimensional answer movie?
For a one-dimensional yes. movie. Yes. Oh, man.
Okay, can we give a shout-out then to FCC's very own?
Which one?
Idris.
Oh, Idris Elba. We most certainly can. Mr. Heimdall, guarding the gate.
What about his character?
He actually had something to do in this movie.
Yeah, and that struggle had an inner struggle.
Yeah,
that he had to resolve. Something had to be resolved.
He said, "Look, I have my loyalty to the king."
Yes,
you know, and then I
can't disobey my king even for you.
Yeah, even for the son of the king, I can't disobey the king.
But
But he goes along with the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just...
Well, he turns himself in. He throws himself at the King's Mercy.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
And so I'm agreeing with Patron St. Philip. Because I've only known him, this man, from Pacific Rim, which we covered on Finding Christ in Cinema. Excellent movie. He's an excellent actor. But Patron St. Philip went so far as to say that he's one of the finest unknown actors in the world today. And I could really see it. I could see it in his characterization of Heimdall more than I could even as General
Pentecost
mm-hmm. in Pacific Rim. I don't know. There's just something in his eyes and not those contacts that you can see space through.
Right.
Okay. How do you find out on IMDb who did the musical score? Because you looked that up. I watched a little special feature on him, on the special features on, I have the digital version from Amazon. And watching him record and talking about the theme, you know, this movie, the soundtrack, really, Asgard has one theme. The royal family has one theme, even Loki as part of that, and everything, their individuals are just a variation mm-hmm. on that one theme. And I really liked how he said, now with Loki, we didn't want to go big and brash and whatnot, because he's conniving. And cunning.
He's stealth.
Yes, and so his theme is on a harp. Ooh. So you got to, when next time you watch the film, you know, keep that in mind.
Well, Michael, you can thank Brian Tyler.
Brian Tyler.
For that music.
I thank you, Mr. Tyler, because I think it's an excellent score. It's humongous and epic when it needs to be, and it's light where it needs to be. And then, I mean, just come on, giving Loki his theme on a harp. Wow. Plucking the harp, you know, that just elicits, you know, visions of manipulation, really. All right. Do you have any other shout out? You're just not into this movie today. And so I'm just not feeling it.
Well, we can talk about Stellan Skarsgård. Dr. Selvig.
Aha! FCC's very own Stellan Skarsgård. And so this guy, he's got a great role because he's in almost any Avengers movie.
Right.
You know, he's been in several of them. So, and, you know, the way that he portrays Erik Selvig is, I mean, the madness that he's going through now in this film because of the events in The Avengers, the first Avengers film, and I'm going to touch on that. That's part, well, you'll see. You'll see. Stick with us. There's a teaser, friends. But
well, you know, once you've had a god inside your head.
He's able to play the mad genius, I guess, very well.
Yeah.
But also, he's not just mad, but wounded. He's injured. He's been injured in this quest to, well, to be part of helping and saving and things. Who else? Anybody?
I mean, we could talk about Kat Dennings, but...
Okay, you just did.
Yeah, that's about all I got to say.
Oh, well, okay, as Darcy Lewis, I think she's very funny. She's probably the funniest thing in this movie. Her timing is excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent timing. Typical, you know, and I don't know how I don't know how she developed this character, or if somebody already had it, you know, plotted out for her and said, "This is what we're looking for."
I don't know.
Good stuff, and I don't know. Maybe we'll hear a little bit from her coming up later on in the show. Anything else, or do you want to just go ahead and hop right into it? This is going to be a 70-minute episode.
Well, we got to talk about the deeper things first.
Okay.
So let's bring this in. So this is what really helped me tune into this movie. Is tracking along the family drama. Now, you know, my theater background, it kind of opened me up to this idea that all good drama focuses on the family.
Ah.
And that's why I just wish the Thor movies would stick to the complications within the Odin, Frigga, Thor,
I think that permeates Loki. The whole entire story. It's in every scene.
It's not in every scene. Oh. Michael, no, it's not. It's very cool. It's not like the hot, intense. Anyway, okay, but hear me out.
Okay.
Gather around, children.
All right, here we go.
Right, Brendan, gather around.
Uncle Brendan's going to learn you something.
Yes. Think back to American playwright Arthur Miller.
I'm thinking.
Death of a Salesman, yes. A View from the Bridge, The Crucible. All these stories... revolving around the family drama. And his definition for drama, I love.
What is it?
He describes it as a point in time where all the wrong choices were made right down the line, and now, and whenever he says now, he means the beginning of the story, like the beginning of what lights up on stage. All the wrong choices were made right down to the line, or right down the line, and now the birds have come home to roost.
And that's the definition of drama.
That's his definition, and I like it because and it applies here to this film. Loki is that bird. Granted, he was the bird in the first film. And okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that area? Okay. Yeah,
I mean, that's his role.
Yeah, that is
the bird.
Yeah, he's the, well, Thor and Loki, except Thor learned how to get on his own. Loki kind of fell through the cracks.
Mm.
And you know, it may be because Odin.
Oh, well, we'll see.
We can talk about that. but that's what I was really looking forward to in this film.
I can see why you feel robbed.
Yeah, and just adding in the dark elves thing, which I know that's why the world's dark, but you know, adding just all that extra stuff, I think it took away from that.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at right now.
All right. Okay, now I understand you. I wish you would have told me that before. We could have cut out 20 minutes of this show.
Why would we want to do that?
All right, Brendan, did you find any Christian themes in this film? Anything that listeners can use as a tool to witness?
Yes, sir. Now, I just said that the dark elves made the world of Thor, the dark world, dark. But something else did, too.
What's that?
Well, let me bring out some scripture on the front end.
I think that's a good idea on a Christian podcast.
Yes, Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, from the NILT version.
Okay.
The NILT. A brother will betray his brother to death, a father will betray his own child, and children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed.
What verse is this? What passage is this?
This is just after Jesus has called the disciples.
Ah.
And he's describing the world in which they're going to be entering for believing in him.
Oh, right.
Like, and this isn't some distant, far off, nine realms away world. This is here on earth. When they start their ministry as his disciples.
This is what you have to look forward to?
This is what you have to look forward to. Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's Matthew 10, verse 21.
Not only because this is just the way the world is. This is because of what Jesus is telling them.
Yeah,
this is because of Jesus. Let's look at it a little more closely. A brother will betray his brother. We've got Loki and Thor.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
A father.
I wish I could trust you.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna get to that. A father will betray his child. Could be seen in Loki and Odin. Because, I mean, let's face it, Loki was told that he would get the throne all his life, and he didn't. So we have a father betraying a child, and then a child will rebel and cause the death of his parents. Now, directly, no, Loki was not the cause, but because of Loki's rebellion, Frigga died.
Right.
That is the type of dark world that this is, and that's why it's so close to the family drama, because you've got all these dynamics working really against Loki. And like you said, like I agree with you, he is one of the more complex characters, maybe even the most complex character in this film. But if that's all the darkness, Michael, quick point in and out, what's the light? That's the love.
And isn't his mother's love...
Specifically, the unconditional motherly love that Frigga has and had for Loki.
And I think that Rene Russo portrays that in spades.
Oh, yeah.
Should win an award for that.
I just wish he had more screen time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And now there's no chance of that.
No.
Well, I don't know. It is Asgard. Things can happen. Let's listen to this first clip. This is right after Malekith and the big horn guy, whatever.
Yeah.
His Minotaur. Yeah, his Minotaur, pretty much. Have just killed Frigga.
Okay.
And Thor has to go down to the dungeons. Everyone's been broken out by the Minotaur.
Yeah.
except for Loki.
And why is that?
I don't know. I think it's just because
he looked at him and said, "I ain't letting that guy out."
Like, no.
That guy looks like bad news. He's no good to come with that.
And again, I love the way this is actually one of my favorite scenes with Loki is because he starts off with that illusion.
Yeah. Oh, when, I know it.
When Thor's walking down the hallway or the whatever you want to call it, the dungeon. He's walking down and he gets to Loki's cell, and we see first Loki standing at the window. He said, "Have you come to mock me?"
Being defiant.
Yeah, as typical Loki.
Challenging.
But Thor knows it's an illusion, and he says, "I'm tired of illusions. This is not a time for illusions." And then we see that fade.
The facade.
Yes, and it just falls away. Yeah. And then we see that the cell on the inside is like destroyed.
Isn't that a good sidebar?
Okay.
Isn't that a good illustration right there of a facade, of the facade that we put up ourselves?
Yeah.
I mean, it's outside of ourselves. It's like putting ourselves into a bubble, and that's what Loki did. And when Thor says, "Enough of this," and the facade melts away or disintegrates.
It's especially in times of grief.
And then we could see what state Loki truly was in.
Yeah, and you see him sitting on the floor, you see him, he's not in his godly getup.
Why is Thor here though?
Well, Thor's here to elicit a little help.
Okay.
And we'll hear about that in this first little clip.
"You must be truly desperate to come to me for help. What makes you think you can trust me?"
"I don't. Mother did. And you should know that when we fought each other in the past, I did so with a glimmer of hope that my brother was still in there somewhere. That hope no longer exists to protect you. You betray me, and I will kill you."
"When do we start?"
All right, now think about it. Think about it. Don't track with me, Michael.
Yes.
"What makes you think you can trust me?" Thor says, "I don't. But Mother did."
Yeah.
So right there, it's already establishing Mother's trust is Frigga's love.
We have an anchor.
We have that solid anchor. We have that foundation.
Okay.
Yes, we have that. And this is where... where all of Asgard could not trust or love Loki, Frigga did. And that was why we can see that grief when he's in that cell. He's just sitting because the only person that loved him in Asgard has just been killed.
And the only person that, even to that very day, that he knew that he could rely on, that he could go back to.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, prior to him being in this, you know, disheveled state that Thor found him in, when the guy came and told Loki what happened, you just see his mouth move. You don't hear it because Loki's sitting there reading a book, and he just looks away. And then the next, you see his back turned to the camera.
He turns his back to
and he just flexes, and the then, room, you know,
yeah,
that explodes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yes. I mean, that's a great picture of grief.
I'm just glad that was in there.
Yeah.
It's one of the few redeeming qualities about this film.
Stop it.
Okay, so next part about this first sound clip. Thor says, "You should have known that when we fought each other in the past," you know, obviously referring to what we saw in the first Thor movie.
I think throughout their whole life, just as brothers.
And the Avengers, just everything. Well, we as the audience, that's what we see. Yeah. "When we fought each other in the past, I did so with a glimmer of hope that my brother was still in there somewhere."
Yeah.
Frigga was Loki's only hope. And that's really what bonded Thor to Loki. That love.
So now there's nothing. That
love was the bond. Well, Thor continues, "That hope no longer exists to protect you."
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Loki is honestly at the mercy of anyone in Asgard who hates him, pretty much.
Wow.
Okay, now track with me here. Thor also sees no hope for the relationship between himself and Thor.
Why? Because that anchor. That hope.
Well, that bond is gone.
Yeah.
Is dead. She died on the balcony.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's deep.
Now, but it gets deeper. This family drama.
Yeah, see,
gets deeper.
This is deeper stuff here, and you said that there wasn't none.
Well, it just took 2.5 hours to get there.
Oh,
okay. Now, Sound clip number two. Let's check it out.
You'll never be ready. The only woman whose love you've prized will be snatched from you.
And will that satisfy you?
Satisfaction's not in my nature.
Surrender's not in mine.
The son of Odin.
No, not just of Odin. You think you alone were loved of mother? You had her tricks, but I had her trust.
Trust? Was that her last expression? Trust? Will you let her die?
What help were you and yourself?
Who put me there? Who put me there?
You know damn well! You know damn well who! She wouldn't want us to fight.
Well, she wouldn't exactly be shocked.
I wish I could trust you.
Trust my rage.
Brother, that is some good drama.
Yeah.
And that's some fine writing skills right there.
Yes, it is.
Brought to life by two fantastic actors. I agree with you. This is a great movie.
So anyway, in the second sound
clip... He's going to deny that.
Michael, I told you, it's just not there
that
enough.
That was fantastic.
It's not there
scene.
Enough, though. Oh. It's not there enough.
You're
there,
just not appreciative.
There could have been more...
There's no pleasing some people.
There could have been so much more of that type of... yes, that was good drama.
Every party has a pooper.
What?
Evs.
So...
Break it down, brother.
The second sound clip. Well, I mean, really, there's only one thing that sums it up wholly. You think you alone were loved of mother? You think Frigga only loved you, Loki? No. She loved me, and I loved her, too. And this is where we see Thor and Loki actually come together. Now, granted, they have words. They have words for each other that they need to get off their chest.
Yeah.
In this time of grief. And that's fine. Brothers going to have their things.
Yep.
Family's going to have their things. But it all boils back down to the love that Frigga had for them and that they had for Frigga. This is where I'm going to plug in my key text, Colossians 3:14. Once again, out of the Nilt version. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. This love that existed... In the Asgard family, royalty, well, Odin's questionable, but at least between the mother and these two sons, that bond is strong. And that's honestly what translates the most to the audience, is what translated most to me. You know, and you know me, I represent the entire audience.
Yes, so, you know, Brendan and everybody else.
Yeah, you know, that's how it is.
Against me.
Yeah. But it's once
and my engineerification.
once these brothers get this out of the way, Thor says, and this is what I like. Now, Michael, here's a bone.
He said, "Like
this actually was a really good setup."
What?
And here's what I mean. Now, and I don't mean setup as in like a con job. But, you know, we're not planning to rob the bank or anything. But this was a good setup in the writing for the encounter with Malekith. The first encounter with Malekith. Thor says, "I wish I could trust you."
Mm.
And Loki says, "Trust my rage." And I'll admit, when I first saw this movie, I thought, what kind of line is that?
You thought that was a cop out, or
what does that have?
Or the writer just drew a blank?
I just thought, well, like, why is that even in there? It didn't hit me.
Don't trust me.
It didn't hit
me. Trust what I can do.
Yeah, exactly. It did not hit me that Loki actually had this plan going, because Loki, he is the character. He is a smart guy. He is conniving. He's
duplicitous.
Crafty.
Yes.
That's part of the tricks that he actually inherited from Frigga. That like Thor says, yeah. You had her tricks.
But he uses it for bad.
Well, yeah.
Or
yeah.
To meet his own.
His own selfish needs.
Yes.
Yeah, true. Except in this first encounter with Malekith. Because then we see that rage. We see Loki, and honestly, and I was taken back. I was like, Oh, Loki really did just stab his brother.
Yeah, uh-huh, yep.
Stabbed his brother. He rolled down the hill. Loki chased after him.
Yeah. He like, did.
You Everybody really was thought telling
that, I... Thor that he would do this, and he did it.
I was like, man, he's really doing that. Yep. I didn't think he'd do it.
Yep.
But then Thor says, Loki, now. And Loki, he's got his tricks up his sleeves. He regenerates, or he takes away the illusion, or whatever.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, whatever that. It worked.
Yeah.
I thought it was going on for real. I'm like, Loki, you can't do that.
Yeah. Even at two, Brutus.
Yeah, at two, Loki.
Yeah.
And all this goes down, and we've got the Minotaur. What's his real name? Is it Hogan?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan?
No.
WWF?
Ooh, yeah.
No, that's Macho Man.
Sorry. Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
The Madness and the Mania together.
No wrestling. Again. Stop with the wrestling. We've been on this wrestling thing for too long now.
Oh, no, we haven't.
Shame.
You don't even realize.
Okay, so the Minotaur.
The Minotaur. Malekith is escaping. Minotaur comes back to settle things with Thor. Loki then distracts him with his, one of his quick little. Actually, no, he jabs the sword through him. He jabs the sword through him, then steps to the side. Then the Minotaur comes around and stabs Loki. Well,
point out that Loki was protecting Jane.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that makes it even that much more
poetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And drama. That's a deeper thing. Another level down. Oh, now he's. What is going on with Loki?
Yeah. He's. He's becoming honorable.
Okay, keep going.
To take from David Gaddy, he's becoming honorable. Now, okay. So, Minotaur has a sword protruding out from his chest. He then grabs Loki and then bear hugs him into that same blade. While it's still in him, the blade goes through Loki. And that's what kills Loki. But that gives Loki just enough time to plant one of those... mystical lava grenades.
Yeah.
Or, whatever's on the Minotaur.
That red hot golf ball.
It destroys him. Yeah. And as Loki falls down, he's dying. He has this last conversation with Thor.
I fooled you, didn't listen.
I'm a fool. I'm a fool.
Stay with me, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Shh.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'll tell Father what you did here today.
I didn't do it for him.
Drama. I'm telling you. Now, he says he didn't do it for him.
Who did he do it for?
My logical conclusion is that he did it for his mother, for Frigga. Because he knows that's what she...
Yeah.
Not only is that what she would have done, but that's what she did. That's how she died on the balcony.
He took vengeance. He got his vengeance.
He got his vengeance. That's all he wanted.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. And he acted in what honorable way Loki could muster just to seal the deal.
It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Granted. But it was enough to save Jane's life.
Mm-hmm. It's also enough to point... to where Loki could go should he choose to, but that's my point.
Oh, well then I will quickly bow out then. Key text, once again, Colossians 3:14, above all, clothe yourselves with love. And actually, a note on clothing ourselves with love. What color, pray tell, is Loki's...
Green.
Green, yes. Now, what color... was Frigga's illusions whenever they faded away?
Green.
Exactly. That just blows my mind. But that wasn't.
And that is. See, I'm glad that you agree. You've been acting this whole time like this movie isn't all that. It wasn't all that. And truly, you'd see that it is. And this is some deep drama, some excellent writing, some excellent acting, great points to pull out, enough to bring tears to our eyes and shivers up our spine and goose pimples and all that stuff. I agree with you. I'm glad that finally you have dropped the facade and we could see you sitting in the back of the room enjoying the snot out of Thor's favorite movie, The Dark World.
So, Michael, I went gold digging the other day, and then I ended up in this cave, and it was just dark and black and anything. I didn't see anything in that cave, you know, redeeming whatsoever, until I find that one little nugget of gold,
and it made it all worth it. All right, so you have set me up perfectly. Your points, and we see into the psyche and well, a little bit more of Loki. I'm calling mine A Tale of Two Brothers. Or
Love lifted me, even me,
when nobody else could help. Love lifted me,
yes,
right?
Yes,
I'm glad that you finally know an old hymn.
70 minutes.
We have three sick people in this film. We have Loki, we have Jane, we have Eric. Oh, well, what do I mean? These three illnesses of the heart, of the soul, and of the mind.
Ooh.
Loki has a prideful heart. That's what it comes down to. His prideful heart. Jane has a darkened soul now. Okay? She's been infiltrated by this black death. And Eric was humiliated or brought down low by Loki in the Avengers film when he was possessed by Loki using the Infinity Stone that was in his, you know, funny scimitar looking thing, right?
Yeah.
He took over Eric's soul. I mean, he just brought him low. Boom. Well, I don't want to talk about Jane, okay? Because I thought that was the, well, of course we're going to talk about Jane and her being inhabited by the ether, the darkness, right? And I'm glad that neither one of us are. Because that's just, everybody should be able to point that out, right? Hey, that kind of reminds me of, you know, sin and death, right? And we need to get it out of us and look at what all it took in order to get that out of her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to travel to the dark planet. They had, you know, all this stuff. So we don't even need to talk about her. But Loki's pride is what drives his evil. His pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's what... I mean, Thor, really, that's what he was drawing on when he went to Loki for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the chance for vengeance. Ah, I'm going to be the one to avenge our mother. It's pride. I'll do it.
Would you put it like our brother James puts in his letter, selfish ambition?
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Well, James is going to help us. I don't know what it is. I don't even like the book of James. That's my least favorite book, and it's just haunting me for the past, and you're the one studying it. Explain that to me.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know either, but James...
You might need to listen to the brother James, because you know whose brother he is? Jesus' brother.
Yep.
You know? Now, granted, he didn't follow him like a disciple did.
No. In fact, he said he was a crazy man.
Yeah.
Get back home. You're embarrassing your mother.
Come on, guys.
Hey, so anyway, back to Loki. After the events of the Avengers, he's brought back to Asgard for justice. That's where we first encounter Loki in this film. And he's brought right to the throne of Odin. And while he's there, his blessed mother, Frigga, I mean, she's his adoptive mother, but she has loved him every moment that she has had him. The moment she laid eyes on him, that mother instinct, you know, I love him. He's my son. But she pleads with him to repent. Just change, Loki. Come back home. Just change. Repent. Turn around. And after Odin requests her to leave him with Loki, her son shows no signs of repentance.
I really don't see what all the fuss is about.
Do you not truly feel the gravity of your crimes? Wherever you go, there is war, ruin, and death.
I went down to Midgard to rule the people of Earth as a benevolent god. Just like you.
We are not gods. We're born, we live, we die. Just as humans do.
Give or take 5,000 years.
All this because Loki desires a throne.
It is my birthright.
Your birthright was to die.
Sir Anthony Hopkins, big props.
Amen.
That's like the most powerful delivery in this film.
Your birthright.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes in a movie you just have to say, we need a real actor. I mean, we need a commanding presence.
You know, to carry the film where the directors and the writers won't.
Do you think we could get Sir Anthony Hopkins for Thor? No way. Well, I'll call him up anyway. You know? He comes in and redeems the film. He redeems the film. Hey.
Wow.
Well, you did just now as well, but I didn't realize you were such a fan. Okay, so in this exchange, you see Loki's pride on display. It is my birthright to go down and rule these people. They are beneath me. They are beneath me, just like all of your subjects are beneath you, Odin. They're beneath me. It's my birthright to be a king, and you have robbed it from me. No, your birthright was to die. That's the only right you had claim to, was to die, a little baby lying in the snow. And I saved you and brought you home. And my wife and I loved you. I mean, Odin loved him from the moment he saw him, or he wouldn't have taken him. He had compassion.
True.
He had mercy in his heart. And he reminds them of this. You're only alive because of my mercy. And yet this, too, that doesn't trigger repentance. In fact, he continues.
And what of Thor? You'll make that witless oaf king while I rot in chains.
Thor must strive to undo the damage you have done. He will bring order to the Nine Realms, and then, yes, he will be king.
You're going to make this witless oaf a king. He's beneath me. Everybody's beneath Loki. Everybody's beneath Loki because he has a prideful heart. It reminds me of Job. In Job chapter 10, and you know, Job had a little bit of a problem with pride, okay? And in chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, and I like this because this actually ties into our passages from Hosea in the last episode, okay? It fits in nicely, especially with this particular creature that shows up. I lift my eyes, or I lift myself up. What's that? Pride.
That's the puff up.
Yes.
Puffing
up. Yes.
Yes.
I puff myself up. I lift myself up. And you hunt me as a fierce lion, he says to God. And again, you display your power against me. You bring new witnesses against me and increase your anger against me. Relief troops come against me, like new fresh troops. You just keep sending it because of my pride. My pride. I lift myself up, and you hunt me like a lion. And Loki knows that, but he can't stop. He can't stop lifting himself up. Fine, I'll fight those armies. Send them. Send them. Pride. Oh, man. Okay, another passage out of Job, and this is about 8 verses. Another long reading going along with last episode.
Oh, yay.
Job chapter 40. If you will.
I still think Richard has the longest reading.
Yeah, right. That was pretty long. Okay, Job chapter 40, verses 6 through 14, out of the New International, out of the NIV.
Yes, that how we very do that? Good.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Very good.
Out of the NIV, chapter 40 of Job, what did I say? Verses
6 through 14.
Boy, that is long. And I can't even read. Then... This is God coming and speaking to Job a second time. Okay, so this is the second question and answer period. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice, Job? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like his? Well, then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty, Loki. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low, like I do, parenthetically. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crush the wicked when they stand. Bury them in all the dust, bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. See, he's talking to Loki. This is like what Odin is basically saying. Your birthright is to die. You don't have the power to do what you think you can do. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have the power to save your life. I did because of my mercy, my kindness. Everybody, go and read that passage to yourself out of Job and see what God is telling Job. Let me see what you can do, Job. Can you do these things? Well, then clothe yourself in righteousness. Whoa. Powerful words. But, Brendan, this was Thor, too.
Yeah.
This was what Thor, this was when we first met him in Thor's favorite movie, the first one.
Yes.
Okay? He was a prideful, he was like a frat boy.
Yeah.
Okay? He was just a punk, a kid, too big for his britches. You know, he could throw all the touchdowns, and so therefore he thought he was all that in a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but over the course of time, we have seen him, and that's what I really like about this film, is we have seen him mature. And he's going to prove it in spades at the end of the film. But he is a mature man now, and he knows, I have to do what's right for other people. I have to do what's right for other people first. So the key point between these two brothers, this tale of two brothers, is that Loki could have been saved if he would just humble himself in the sight of the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 10, right? What great song.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Just do that, Loki. You were so close fighting on the dark world. And you, oh boy, if you would have just said, I didn't do it for him, I did it for Mother and for you, Thor. Because you have sought me. All this time, you have chased after me as a brother to redeem me, to reinstate me. So the tale of two brothers is that one humbled themselves or was humbled, and the other was hardened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that makes me think of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 34. Verses 34. All those. 34 through 34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. What kind of people does God like, do you think?
Oh, well, obviously, like humble people.
The humble.
Well, people that can bow down
take
out
correction?
Of their own self. Well, I was going to say bow down out of their own selves to him.
Yeah.
Then lean on him for his direction.
And for his mercy.
Yes.
Yes. Only good things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to learn. I don't know about you. Okay. James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. We have to leave with Thor, because I said at the end of the movie, we find out how mature he is, and he goes back after all of this, and he talks to what he thinks is his father, and this is what he has to say.
Father, I cannot be king of Asgard. I will protect Asgard and all the realms with my last and every breath, but I cannot do so from that chair. Loki, for all his grave imbalance, understood Buhl as I know I never will. The brutality, the sacrifice, it changes you. I'd rather be a good man than a great king.
Is this my son I hear, or the woman he loves?
When you speak to, I never hear mother's voice. This is not for Jane, father. She does not know what I came here to say. Now forbid me to see her or say she can rule at my side. It changes nothing.
One son who wanted the throne too much, another who will not take it.
Fantastic writing in this film. One son that wanted the throne too much, and we see what the results are of that. Another one too humble to take it. He's been humbled. This is fantastic writing. Is this you speaking or the woman that you love? And what's his response? I don't remember verbatim, but it's beautiful. It's great. It's a great turn of words. It's great writing.
Now, Michael, can I just say there's a difference between story movement Okay. And
yes,
you, dialogue.
Yes, I understand.
And yes, that
can
is
I
great.
Have a, can I have
that
a point?
That is great dialogue.
Can I have one point?
Yes.
Can I get a point?
Yeah.
Okay, so we see the difference between the two guys. But this isn't even what I want to talk about, Brendan.
Oh.
I want to talk about, and I want to know, where in the world is Eric Selvig?
Hi, Eric. It's me again. Where are you? I came here because you said you were onto something, and then you vanished.
I'm here at Stonehenge for what has been an interesting unfolding of events today. The police were called to the scene shortly after 11 a.m. this morning after a seemingly harmless rambler approached the area, then decided to strip naked and effectively terrorize tourists there with scientific equipment while shouting that he was trying to save them. The man, later identified as noted astrophysicist Dr. Eric Selvig, has been called in for questioning by police.
Well, now we know where he is.
Yeah.
He's dancing around Stonehenge naked as a jaybird in his birthday suit.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
But he's still trying to fix stuff. He has his little his thingies that are supposed to do a convergence or something to help with this.
His gravitational prides or something, yeah.
But Dr. Eric Selvig is a damaged man. He's broken.
Yeah.
He's got this illness going on, and it happened when Loki possessed him in the Avengers, again, with that Infinity Stone. And he suffered a break-in. This was this was a break-in!
Mm-hmm.
When he was unawares, here comes Loki as the figure of sin, as death, the adversary, the Satan, right? And he actually acted on Eric's own, his lust for knowledge. He's a scientist. He wants to figure these things out, right? Mm-hmm. That you can fall into that. That can be a sin, right?
Yeah.
But... because of that, and Loki gets him at a vulnerable point, Dr. Eric Selvig is also humbled, humiliated, brought low. Not on his own accord, but by somebody else. It's always better to bring yourself down, right? Or to humble yourself than have somebody else humiliate you.
Instead of someone else make an example out
right.
of you.
But the great part about it, though, is so now we find out that, they take him to the police, but this guy's nuts. So they take him to the mental ward.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, he's up there lecturing to everybody over shoes and talking about the planets.
And we have our Stanley cameo. Yes, we do.
Any questions?
Can I have my shoe back?
Can I have my shoe back? And so as it goes on, we have the church comes to the rescue.
Eric!
Yes.
It's Darcy.
Darcy. So good to see you.
Oh, I missed you too.
How did you find me?
You were naked on TV.
Okay, time to go. Lots to do. Getting weird now.
I love Darcy. That's a great character. But this is a great picture. This is your Acorn moment. When they come, pretend that the intern, Ian, is Dr. Selvig's son.
His son.
In order to rescue him from his predicament. He's got a little bit of a thlipsis here. We've got, right? He's in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Okay. So they come and help him out. That is your Acorn moment. Because, no, I'm not pointing out, here's Christ in this film. Here's a picture of God. Because I don't see that in this film. But I do see another great film to show what the church is to be like, and it's encapsulated in this, even though, I mean, he's goofed, and he's going to be goofed up until he goes home to his reward in heaven,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He's going to be damaged in one way or another. He's going to probably forever be doing all of his best work in his underwear, right?
It helps him think.
Yeah, it helps him think. Here's your key text, friends. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, 9 and 10, out of the New Living Translation. The
NIV. Oh, the NILT. You said Living.
Yeah, New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls or is humiliated, is humbled, brought low even... even the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Dr. Eric Selvig was in real trouble. Running around Stonehenge naked is frowned upon in modern day British society. Did you know that? Of course, there was a time hundreds of years ago when that was when it was encouraged.
Yeah.
But now it's the opposite. See how things flip-flop?
See, we really need to get back to a simpler time.
Well, it's like 1 week eggs will kill you, and then the next week you need to be eating eggs.
They're the best thing for
you. Yes. So, yeah. Same thing. One day you can be dancing around Stonehenge naked. Next day, it's illegal. Yeah. Whatever. So,
I wish someone told me that.
So he's stuck with Stan Lee and everybody else and a big bag of medication because he's broken and he's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And a alone, he's in real trouble. But he has others. Not just one. He has others. The church. He has brothers and sisters in the faith. Again, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And Brendan, that's my point for this episode. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Actually, a piggyback. Yes.
Good.
Yes, sir.
I love piggybacks.
Now, on your point, Dr. Eric found that, would you say that reassurance?
Yeah.
Once he was reached out to and actually saved?
Yes. He's hugging everybody.
This is what he says on the way out of the institution.
Yes.
He says there's nothing, and this is right after he throws away.
He's that, in the process
that
of
huge yeah. that huge bag of medicine.
Various.
Those. He says there's nothing more reassuring than realizing that the world is crazier than you are.
Yeah. And again, what do you get out of that?
Well, honestly, I think it goes back to unity again.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you realize that the world is crazier than you are,
yeah,
it's also crazier than everyone else. And there you have common ground with everyone else.
Yes.
On which you can unify.
Yes. Yes. And so with that theme of unity and FCC's very own Heimdall?
Idris Elba.
Yes. I recommend everybody go back and re-listen to our Pacific Rim episode. Because that was all about Christian unity.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Moving forward in the same direction with each other. And I think it fits in perfectly with this film as well. So that would make a good series right there. Anything else?
No, man.
All right. So then our challenge to you folks out there, what Christian themes did you find in Thor's favorite movie, The Dark World? Because it's a good one. And there were many different threads that I saw. But the problem with this movie for me, Brendan, was because I'm always looking for the Christ figure. You know, because that's what I like as my anchor point.
True.
And then work from there, mm-hmm. You know. I couldn't identify it in this film. And so, the whole week, I'm just going, what am I going to talk about? I had an idea. But that's why I chose to focus on Eric, because it's quirky. And I would hope that it's enough out of left field that people go, I didn't expect him to focus on, you know, Eric Selvig, right? But we know that you guys have, our regular listeners, our regular contributors, our regular producers, our patron saints, our friends, our brothers and sisters out there, what Christian themes have you found in Thor's favorite movie, The Dark World? Just let us know. Let us know. We'll give you all the ways to contact us in a little bit.
Also, let us know if Michael's puns ever... ever run their course. Thank you.
No, every time I say it, Thor's favorite movie, I don't know, whatever.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Okay, let's move on. We have feedback. First up.
Hold! Who goes there?
It's a trap.
No! No, 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 it's not a trap. Patron St. Philip presents... or is taking us to King Philip's Stables.
Yes, indeed.
Says, this was a comment left on the Kingdom of Heaven episode on Finding Christ in Cinema's website at christincinema.com, episode number 73. Hey, guys, great job on Kingdom of Heaven. I like the idea of reviewing the theatrical as well as director's cut and look forward to hearing you contrast the two. It seems that the theme of mercy triumphing over judgment keeps coming up lately. It does, doesn't it? Thank you, James. Oh, that's an interjection on our part. it's something that I don't think that we can spend too much time on. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the reasons why our particular nation is in such a mess. We're in a mess, man. We're going the wrong direction. And even I think that even the people that think they know the correct course of action are missing the mark. Because if there is not mercy, if there is not humility, if there is not these themes that we can find in James, the book of James, over and over again, mercy, I mean, come on. Well, that's what we need. Okay, getting back to his comment. Sorry, Philip. Yes, it seems the theme of mercy triumphing over judgment keeps coming up lately, which is a good thing. Like Balian, well, that can be easier said than understood for us, I think. Perhaps because we are in such great need of mercy ourselves, eh? Amen.
Amen.
Amen, as the Canadians would say. That was my own interjection. Philip didn't say that. Sorry, Canadians. One thing I get is the scene you guys talked about where King Baldwin and Tiberius try to talk Balian into a scheme that will result in Guy's death, or Guy's death. Sorry. And him being married to his widow, the princess, and eventually having power over Jerusalem and its surrounding kingdom. This calls to mind Mark 8, verse 36, out of the New King James Version. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? While Balian already committed adultery with Sibylla, parenthetically says something, I don't... this temptation is...
It says yuck.
Yeah. This temptation is to... this temptation to take his sin to the next level seemed to shine light upon darkness and prick his conscience, which you guys alluded to. Admirably, at this point, he did the right thing. Sin often has a snowball effect, and it was good to see Balian stop his snowball before it got even more out of hand. Well said. Interjection. Lastly, my mind was indeed blown a while back when it was pointed out to me that Ron's Wookiee call was actually just him saying his name. Doesn't work so great with Philip, I'm afraid.
No, it wouldn't. You could try, though. You could record it and try and send it to us. We'll put it on the sound cart permanently.
I'm pleased Michael has been watching Matt Smith's Doctor Who. You know what? Sidebar. I have been, and I have finished up all the way through season 6. I'm just getting ready to watch the Christmas special, which is just before season 7, and I am now a Matt Smith fan, and it took up until later on in season 6, and there's an episode, I can't remember what it's called, but it has these two time streams, and Doctor Whovians know what I'm talking about. They're on this planet where there's these two time streams, and Amy, who is one of the Doctor's companions, gets caught in a separate time stream, and the first time that I really saw Karen Gillian or whatever her last name is as an actress. I mean, this was fantastic. Acting, amazing storytelling, and I was trying to get Brendan. I was talking to him before the show. He's got to watch Doctor Who because I want his feedback on the storytelling prowess.
Interjection over.
Where were we? Oh, okay. And it may interest Brendan to know that James Corden appears in two of my favorite episodes, The Lodger and Closing Time. He's funny.
He is funny. Okay,
in these episodes, it's great to see him. Oh man, Brendan, the Christmas special that was in between seasons 5 and 6 with the fake Dumbledore, Michael Gambon. Oh, it's good stuff.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that.
All right, and so
we all know who the better. No, not even the better. We all know who the real Dumbledore.
And he played him before Michael Gambon came along. Okay, so getting back, The Lodger in the Closing Time. His performances, speaking of James Corden, are delightful, charming, and funny. Love the show, guys. New hashtag, Gaddy Wills It.
Wait, hold on. When did that become a hashtag?
last episode, I guess. Philip decides to hashtag.
Talking about the Templars. God wills it!
Yes.
Okay.
And then we mentioned David Gaddy.
Okay, yes. Okay, so that deserves an echo, sir. So okay. Let's mulligan.
All right. Mulligan, here we go.
Love the show, guys.
Hashtag Gaddy wills it! And hashtag my wee lad Gidley! Then I was just worried sick over the last episode because it was recommended or requested by patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks. You know, he loves Kingdom of Heaven, which, in fact, as a matter of fact, he has not seen the director's cut either. So he's looking forward to watching that as well. So I messaged him on Facebook. I hope we did it justice, brother. You know, he messaged me back. What a great job you guys did on Kingdom of Heaven. My deepest gratitude.
Oh, thank you.
See, so now I feel better. So now I can actually put that episode in the vault and not have to worry about it or think about it ever again until the end of the year to see if it will make it to our end of the year rundown.
Although with such fine films as Thor, The Dark World.
Thor favorite movie so far this year. any other feedback?
No, that's it.
All right, you ready for some
well-mannered frivolity?
All right. Apple Trailers. I'm going to try and do this every once in a while.
Oh, Bubba.
So the Apple Trailers app on my iPad, go and watch new movie trailers. I have some great ones for you. Okay. And Brendan, I showed you a couple before the show started. Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah,
a Cold War drama.
Oh yeah.
What'd you think? Your initial impression, because you hadn't seen anything by it.
I remember back when we mentioned on an earlier, like a way earlier episode, back when these rumors started to come up about Tom Hanks being in a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
And then we got that little flea in our ear that it was a Cold War drama.
Yeah.
And now actually seeing it to fruition, that was exciting.
Super exciting.
And then just on the content of the trailer itself, we can already tell it's going to be a good story.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great story.
Yeah.
It's going to be well told. After all, it is Steven Spielberg. The man knows
the cinematography.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. Yes, the cinematography. Yes. It's going to be a good experience.
I can already predict that this one is going to make its way to Patron St. Philip Presents.
The list!
And it gets me into the mood. We need to get Tom Hanks. Oh, well, we definitely will. Christmas time. Did we do? Oh, we did.
We did Polar Express.
Oh, well, we might have to do it again. I need some Tom Hanks again. You got me. I mean, this is Finding Christ in Tom Hanks films, after all. All right, and then next up, I watched the Goosebumps trailer, the new one, with Jack Black.
Yeah.
And I'm geeked out about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you that one's going to be a good one for Finding Christian themes in.
I bet so.
I do. Are you excited about it? I mean, you're of the age of Goosebumps.
Yes.
Did you read them when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, I read them. I watched the TV series. Now and again, they'd actually have a TV special. It was like a feature
length
episode.
Okay, but this film is more meta, isn't it?
Yeah, I can remember vaguely the synopsis if you want to do it right now.
Well, he has all of his books in his house.
Well, Jack Black is playing R.L. Stein.
Yes, the author.
Yes, the author of the Goosebumps series.
And he has a daughter, and some new people move in, and a young man. So he sees his daughter, and his daughter's a lovely young lady, and the young man is a young man, and so you know all these things. But the daughter isn't allowed out of the house. And so the new family moves in, thinks something really creepy is going on over there, and so the kid once gets to the bottom of it. But it all just comes down to the author, what's his name?
R.L. Stein.
Okay, is trying to protect the world from his books.
From his own creations.
Yes.
Because he knows if he lets them out of the books,
yes,
they will terrorize the world.
Yes, and so after all kinds of well-mannered frivolity,
young love gets in the way. And destroys
his
the world.
To do destroys everything. So, it looks good. And then we also have.
Hold on.
What?
Let's go ahead and get that.
No,
we have to get that one out of the way before we talk about this one.
Those were two cheers on the jeers side of the list.
Yes.
Oh my goodness! I can't even say it, Brendan. You got to say it.
Can't even say the title.
Shark Lake. Whoever heard with a lake with sharks in it?
Shark Lake.
That's what I would want to know.
Starring Dolph Lundgren.
Now, I don't. I'm going to admit, Michael, I don't know who that is.
Have you ever seen any Rocky movies?
Yes.
Do you like Rocky movies?
They're okay.
Have you seen the previews for Creed?
Creed? No, I haven't.
Oh, man. That one I'm interested in. I only like the first three or four Rocky. I like the Rocky movies including Dolph Lundgren's appearance as the Russian boxer.
The one that kills Creed?
Yeah.
Oh!
That's Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Now he's shooting sharks in a freshwater lake.
How did they get there? Find out today
on
Shark Lake.
I can't even say it. I can't say the movie. Okay.
Okay. So that was the bad. That was the jeers.
Now we'll get back to
now,
a cheer.
One last cheer.
Wow. Michael Fassbender as Macbeth.
Yes.
Wow.
And
with FCC's very own
Marion Cotillard as Lady Macbeth. Now she played Talia al Ghul.
Yes.
In The Dark Knight Rises.
And she was whoever she played in. She was Leonardo da Vinci's wife in Inception.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes,
Michael.
Him too.
DiCaprio.
Yes. So what were your thoughts when you first saw this trailer?
Oh,
a Shakespeare fan of the highest order.
I loved it. I think they're doing like a classical approach.
Yeah.
It's gonna be an epic scale as Shakespeare. Really, all Shakespeare is epic. It's an epic scale.
Yeah.
The scope of the story, especially like when you get into the historical stories, which is what Macbeth is in a sense. It's like partly historical, partly mythical because of the witches. You know. Some of it's like good storytelling.
Yeah.
And you can't turn away from it. It's so good.
I mean, it belongs on the big screen.
Oh yeah.
Yep. With CGI and lasers and 3D and IMAX and all that stuff.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew
they
pew,
have lasers in this one?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like Asgardians.
Yes.
Hey, so what's up with you?
Well, first, this week has been hectic with auditions for the Christmas show.
You talked about these last week.
Yes.
Refresh our memory.
Memories
pressed between the pages of my mind.
This past Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday evenings, we've had auditions at the Fly Arts Center in Shelbyville, Tennessee.
Memories sweetened through the ages. Just. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
After those auditions, we have found our cast.
Oh, good. Good.
The Christmas show is ready to go.
Oh.
Well, go to rehearsal.
But okay. This is going to be your big extravaganza one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, and what it is, it's dinner theater, so guests will arrive around 5:30-ish to, enjoy a little camaraderie out in the lobby, and then we'll have our dinner, our meal, and then promptly at 7:00 the curtain goes up for a retelling of A Christmas Carol.
Wonderful.
But there's more.
Oh,
because that is only a one act.
Just
play.
A taste.
Oh no. Well, hold on, Michael.
A mere foretaste.
Yes.
Of Glory Divine.
Yeah. You're going there. After that brief little one-act play, there will be a musical concert.
Ah.
And then there will be another one-act play.
Wow.
This is going to be big.
A one-act play?
Yeah.
What's the second one?
It's an adaptation of O. Henry's classic short story, The Gift of the Magi.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
And it's going to be good.
So everybody make your way to Shelbyville, Tennessee this Christmas season and prepare to be dazzled by the storytelling and song and dance extravaganza, a multimedia extravaganza.
Bubba.
Yeah. Awesome. What else? Anything else?
The Scorch Trials on the MMR, which we already talked about earlier. So, that's out there. The official review of Scorch Trials is now on the website.
Get over to ChristInCinema.com, and Brendan has a great Christian angle
on the second part of the Maze Runner trilogy. You don't want to miss that. And hopefully you're going to be able, well, you're busy, but you're going to try and make it to the theater this week. And
I'm going to at least try to make it to see The Martian.
Oh!
Because this
That's
movie,
really Interstellar Part 2.
It really is. Yes. Except this time Matt Damon's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, for real.
All right. I have nothing.
Okay, I do.
Okay.
I have something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have nothing. I have something.
Good.
So there's another podcast that I've been pointed to.
Uh-huh.
Another blogger slash podcaster. His name's Drew, but his moniker is The Dirty Christian.
He doesn't bathe?
What? No, Michael.
Off-color humor?
No, he's got a lot of truth in what he's saying. He's just not holding anything back.
It's like grimy and gritty and real life, the real life Christian.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. He's got some interesting podcasts. He only started in this past month in September.
All right.
You know, today's like the first day of October. He's got 7 episodes out now. This is Thursday, and by Friday morning, October 2nd, tomorrow, he'll have another podcast. He does 2 a week. They're about 30 minutes apiece.
All right.
Half an hour. And really, I think he's just now getting to the point where he's living off on his shows on feedback, answering questions, because that's what the past 2 have been.
Oh, so, okay. Okay.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's cool to listen to. If you're looking for a 30-minute show to fill your time, check out The Dirty Christian.
A good commute buster right there.
There you go.
All right. And what are we going to... What's coming up?
Oh, we've got the list, baby.
Oh, okay, good. Lay it on us.
Okay. October 8th, next week, since we're on this MCU train, this Marvel Cinematic Universe train, we're going to go ahead and tackle Avengers Age of Ultron.
It's a trap!
It's not even... I don't have this movie.
Well, it's out.
Oh, it's out now? Yes, okay. Yeah,
officially, like hard disk copy, it is out now. Next week, after that, we're going back to the Wizarding World.
Oh!
We will be looking at Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That'll get us in the Halloween spirit.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed.
Because that is where it really takes a dark turn in the in the story arc. Wow. Okay. And then what else?
Well, after that, on the 22nd, we'll be looking at The Nightmare Before Christmas.
A perennial favorite.
Yes, indeed. An evergreen.
Yes.
Yes. And then, October 29th,
our big Halloween special.
Yes.
You decided on doing Halloween.
That's what I had decided on.
You changed?
Yes.
Oh no.
Oh, and we can thank David Gaddy over at the Theo Nuts.
Because after all, # Gaddy wills it. Wait,
did you say Daddy wills it or Gaddy?
Okay. Gaddy wills it.
Gaddy wills it, therefore it shall pass.
It's scripture. It's the gospel truth.
The Gaddy gospel.
Yes.
Yeah. he'll soon begin preaching.
Hey, you know
his
what? Can I do a little sidebar real quick?
Sure.
Everybody, Theo Nuts released an episode last night, but which I haven't heard yet, but the prior one, misused words.
Yeah.
One of the most important episodes that they have done. And so just as Brendan and I are saying, you know, the gospel or Gaddy's gospel, well, his gospel had better be the same gospel as Paul's, which is simply Christ and him crucified. It's death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel. Nothing else added, nothing taken away. So we were just being flippant there. So David, please don't, no emails. Come on, brother, cut me some slack. We know what the gospel is.
In fact,
the definition.
We respect David so much that we do value his opinions.
Well, of course.
And of course, since this is a movie show, he went to film school.
Yes.
He has this, I don't want to say a creepy respect, but he has an honorable regard for Stanley Kubrick. And now Michael.
Yes.
What better Stanley Kubrick film to review at Halloween time than The Shining?
One of my all-time favorite movies, and it blows me away that that man was also responsible for 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Which, according to David, has a story.
It does, according to David. So there, but yes, The Shining, creepy deluxe. So Halloween, there we go. We have October planned out,
taken care of.
So hey, you know what to expect, friends. Now be here, live in the studio with us. Each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you can join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational ministry, including all 74 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Review, and links to all our social networking profiles, whatever you call those, visit our website at christincinema.com. Or if you're old-fashioned, living back in the horse and buggy day, you can just send us a simple email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Now, if you want to leave us a voicemail by using Alexander Graham Bell's most awesome invention, the telephone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or the more modern adaptation of that invention, the cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Or just whatever, however you can do it.
Horse and buggy.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can call us at 507-407-GCTN. And in most modern languages, that translates into 507-407-4286. Now, let's say you just want to listen to the podcast, but the air got to it.
The air got to it!
And you're a sad, strange little man.
You are a sad, strange little man.
You can go to iTunes, and you can go to Stitcher, and even if you don't like falafel...
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
But you love duct tape?
Morons.
But you love...
Love duct tape.
You can go to Stitcher, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. Just search them all for Finding Christ, not in falafel.
Oh, no.
I don't like falafel.
But for Finding Christ in Cinema.
I'm a miracle man.
And for all the shows that we produce here on the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
No, I'm good, man.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
And that is a wrap!
Not tell anyone else of your birthdays.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
It's a trap!
Never tell me the odds.
Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational...
Potatoes!
I don't understand.
Inconceivable!
Fool of a took.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission Transmission
at gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.